What would I do if you didn't smile? I guess I'd just go home. Should I go home? I'm not going home. I have this belief that right here is God's love letter to his children, the Bible and the Book of Mormon. And in that love letter, our God, who is mighty, and there's no plumbing the power of who this God is, everything that he penned right here has meaning and impact. I believe that. I believe that you can open up your scriptures wherever you want to open them up, and you can find some word of inspiration is there. Because our God is powerful, strong. Well, this little scripture that you got in front of you is from a man who was wicked and vile. This man needed to change. This man needed somebody bigger than himself to make things right, to straighten things out. Well, God knew that, and God zeroed in on Paul the apostle, the disciple, the new convert, zeroed in on him and filled him with the Spirit of God, and that wicked man became a man that followed the Lord. He followed the Lord until he died. And what you have here is his little depart letter. And in that letter, he tells you what I did. And here's what it says. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He's talking, he's speaking there to whoever would listen. But he's talking to us. And what he is saying as he's leaving, as he's checking out, as he departs, leaving a heritage of maybe 40 or 50 years of preaching hard stuff for all those years, to people that didn't believe, the people that wanted to kill him, people that loved him, fell on his neck and kissed him when he left for another place. And so I'm going to talk about being ready. I'm going to be talking about the time of your departure. I'm going to be talking about your fight. I'm going to talk about finishing the course and keeping the faith. Well, you remember the scripture there. This is Jesus. And Jesus began his ministry out in the desert. Out in the wilderness. He began his ministry by getting ready for the challenge. He is getting ready and probably more ready, and he is the example. But he's getting ready by 40 days and 40 nights of not eating. He knows what's coming. He knows the demands of the challenge between us and God and us and the devil. And after 40 days, where is he? You can read it. He's bone tired and he's hungry. And the devil says, I think I can get him. He says, Jesus, look down here. See those stones around here? Jesus probably said nothing. I know you're hungry. And I know you like fresh baked bread with butter on it. There it is. You can do it. It's yours to have. You just pick it up and enjoy. And what was Jesus' comment? And it's the comment to you and me. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. That's a message. We're not going to live by going to Wendy's in the morning and going to some other restaurant in the evening. We're not going to live by what's cooking here, Mom, and what are we going to eat? We're not living by our minds thinking constantly. He says, you can't do that. He is saying, by my way of understanding right here, it's impossible to follow after Jesus right here if all you got in mind is the temporal stuff of life. I want a bigger paycheck. I want an easier job. I want to be able to get on the golf course at 10:30 in the morning. I want all the goodies that my heart desires right here. This is what I want. And Jesus says it. He's right here. You can't have it. My bread alone. It's not yours to have. And so you look across the landscape of people. And people who are living shiny faces and living in their pristine way right here. And go home and they cry. And they moan. And they're sad. And they can't figure out what's wrong. What is wrong? What's wrong with my life? What's happening right here? Nothing is working right. I got all the money. I got the house. I got the car. I got it all right here, but it's something missing. Yes! It's the Word of God. The devil takes him up on a tower, the temple. Go down here, Jesus. I know you can do this. I know, and I'd love to see it. And it would make me glad, the devil says. If I could see this, because I know you think this, and I know you've preached this and are going to preach this, but on the temple, on the spire of the temple right here, 300 feet off the ground right here, I would love to see it. Jump off that. Jump off that right here, because I know your angels are there ready. And your angels are ready to catch you before you land right here. Oh, what beauty, what power right here. Come on and do it. Show me, Jesus. Shall not tempt the Lord thy God. When I was young, and every young guy right here, every old guy that was young right here, got on behind the wheel right here, and they drove. And they drove slow. You ever heard of a young boy driving slow? He's driving fast. He's driving fast, and what is he doing? He's tempting God. We live lives, and those lives right here are on the edge. And on the edge right here, it ain't real bad, man. I think I can do this. Shall not tempt the Lord thy God. We don't live a life for which we're involved and we're brushing shoulders and we're hobnobbing with the wicked and with the world and with the so-called unrighteous or righteous. We don't hobnob with them by tempting God. Don't get around there. Leave their presence. Put some space. Maybe leave them a tract or maybe read them a scripture or tell them a testimony right here. But don't get in that bunch. Because that bunch, if that bunch is of the world, and I'll guarantee you that bunch that you're going to connect with right here is of the world, it goes one way, and it don't go to heaven. The last one right here in verse 10, he's up there, taken by the devil, and in one view, he sees the world. And that one view right here, he sees all the principalities, he sees all the glitter and the glamour, the riches, all the elite people, all the people that's got it. All that exclusive crowd right here. I remember going to high school, and there was always a crowd, and they followed this guy or this girl right here, and if you weren't part of that crowd right here, you were dump cake city. They didn't like you, and they didn't want you involved with them. But that's what the devil showed Jesus. He says, Jesus, the Bible says he's the author, he's the prince of the power of the air. So here's the devil right here saying to Jesus, now Jesus, you're hungry. and you're poor and you're destitute right here, look at this. This is mine, and I give it all to you. You can have it all. I'll get maybe in second place. I'll give it to you if you what? You follow down and worship me. I've heard that message, and I've seen that. And I can see in this world right here, that's what they're saying. Stay with this job, or go there for this perk, because you're going to be rich. You're going to have it all. This is all going to be yours right here. The devil will tell you in little soft tones right here, I give it to you. If you what? If you fall down and worship me. And the sad thing is, a whole lot of people are doing that. A whole lot of people don't have the Lord in their life. They haven't read the scripture all week long. They haven't prayed. They ain't got time to pray because they're out there making money or out doing their thing, getting with that crowd that accepts them and causes them to worship them. Jesus says, him only, Jesus, the God only should we follow. So here's some little scriptures, little snapshots. I'm not going to dwell too much time on it. I can if you want me to. But in there, like, by getting ready, and I'm majoring on getting ready. And that Luke 12:40 right here says, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. What does that say to you? You better get ready. You better be ready, because your destiny is on its way. That little tick-tock clock right here is ticking away. And every one of us are getting a little closer to our heritage, or to our destiny, or to our fate. And we're getting close to that. And so he's going to come. This is Jesus. He says, I'm going to give you a little heads up information right here. I'm going to come, and there ain't a one of you going to know when I am going to do it. I'm not telling. And God hadn't told me. But be ye therefore ready. And so what can you do to be ready? What must you do? If you knew, if we were sitting right here and there was there was a bomb gonna blow this place apart, what would you do at that moment? You'd be running out of this building. You'd be looking for where it is if you're that savvy right here to defuse this bomb. You're gonna do something. If you knew in advance that there was danger ahead right here, you'd be more ready. But if you're ready by whatever you can get ready with, you have a possibility of surviving. He's coming when we think he's not coming. That Ephesians 6:13 right here says, take unto you the whole armor of God. In the Book of Mormon story, it talks about the Nephites against the Lamanites. And in that story right here, the Nephites were well armored in certain stories. And on the other hand, here comes the Lamanites, and they got a breechcloth on, and they got their tomahawk, and they got their war paint on right here, and they're basically naked. And here they are, they're going to be a battle. Who do you think probably is going to win that battle? I remember reading about Cortez and about the conquest of Mexico. And that's what happened. Cortez was, and his men were armored from top to bottom. And these poor naked Indians right here, they came with their tomahawks and their arrows right here. 400 men, along with a few men that helped them in the associate cities right here, 400 men right here conquered a nation because they were prepared and they were ready. He saith unto me, friend, how camest thou in thither and not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And that's the story that Jesus tells. And in that story right here, the king has a banquet for his son. And everybody is invited to this wedding. And so they come to this wedding banquet, and as they come in there, everybody takes their seat and they're sitting down there and they're ready to eat. And the king is a good king, and he's wandering around and saying, how do you do? And nice to have you here, and I'm glad that you came. Except one guy. And one guy is sitting there with his Bahamas and his flip-flops on right here and his shirt wide open right here, and he's sitting there and he's just kind of looking around, As he's looking around right here, the king happens to see him in this big crowd. What are you doing? How did you get here? Who let you in here? There's something right here that you're not thinking right. Because if you'll see, these people are well clothed, looking nice, ready for the wedding. And here you are with your flip-flops on and your Bahamas. Am I saying Bahamas right? And what did the king say to that man? Take him away. And what? Sounds pretty severe. Burn him. Kill him. Why? He's not ready. He don't have the proper garments on. His heart is not ready. God looks at our hearts and he looks at what we're doing. He sizes us up in a glance. And that's what Jesus was doing. When you give that example, he says, you best be getting ready. Behold, I come as a thief. And Jesus is coming, and just like I said there earlier, right? He's coming in a day that you don't expect, and he's going to come sneaking in the window, sneaking in the back door, sneaking in the middle of the night when you're sleeping in your bed. He's coming. He's coming in a day that we are not ready, if we're not ready. But I believe by what he says and what I've read right here, you can be ready. Matthew 25:1 down there at the bottom. Who's got ready? Who got ready in this wedding invitation? Who got ready? There was half of them that got ready. There was half of them who realized and scoped on down. Now, the bridegroom's going to be coming over yonder. That's where I want to be, halfway up there when he comes out. I want my lamp to be shining. I want it to be bright. I want to be able to see where I'm going. I'm going to try as best I can to be ready for this. And they were. And the bridegroom came. And he took that half a crowd, and he took that crowd in there, and they took him in. And what happened to the door? The door was shut. But the other half, they're not ready. And they're laying down, and they got their little lamp, and it's done out of fuel. They're not ready. They didn't think about it. They didn't think maybe ought to have some extra kerosene or whatever they lit it up with. They didn't think about it. They didn't think that it probably is going to come at a time for which I wouldn't expect. They expected that they would, I'll wake up. I'll be ready. And they weren't ready. Revelations 18:4. You ever read that? I heard a voice from heaven, speaking of the world, and it says what? Come out of the world and be not partakers of her plagues. Welcome, buddy. What can you do? What would God tell you, and what is he saying to you? He is saying what? Get out of the world. If you want to be prepared, if you want to be that where that thief doesn't catch you by surprise, if you want to be there in that holy crowd that goes into that door in that marriage ceremony right here, and you're invited in and the door is shut, if you want to be there, the only way to get there is to get out of the world. And how can you get out of the world? Well, I was a young kid right here. They had hip hops or sock hops. And what happened is you take your shoes off, and boy, I'll tell you what, that place just lit up. But you had the sock hop right here, and you danced the night through right here. And there was always, in my opinion, not my opinion, it was my observation, that every time I went to a sock hop, there always was a fight. What's that about? I'd go to a sock hop, and boy, the music is playing, boy, the people are dancing right here, and then there would be kind of a separating part, and there would be a couple of guys and a girl right there towards the middle, and they're dancing right here, before long, this guy is starting to talk to the other guy. I'm dancing with her. You get out of here. And there was a fight. Well, what does that tell you? Who's there? Who's the author of confusion and fighting and struggle and contention and division? Who does that? Do we live in a world of peace and agreement? Do we live in such a world right here that says, thank you very much, and I've got politeness all over me, and I'm wanting to be polite to you? Is that the world we're living in? Or we're living in a world that is unkind and ruthless and diabolical? And it is not to our sole interest to be involved with that crowd. Get out of there. Get out of the world. Get out of the places of the world. Find a way. We got together last night. Pretty neat. A lot of our kids, they had their Legos, and they had their airplanes, and they had their artifacts, and they got their minerals. They had all that, and they were lit up. And we, the old-timers right here, were lit up watching these guys. And we could have turned on the radio right here and fired up the place there with loud music. We could have some people there doing the dance and acting stupid and acting like idiots right here. We could have had that. No, we enjoyed each other in the right kind of enjoyment. Coming out of the world. And may I say, this building is big enough right here. There's probably several in this building right here who make it their business to get into the world. I can't wait to get in there. I want to know its stuff. I want to know the rules of success. I want to be with the big crowd. I want to hobnob, and I'm going to make sure that I'm sitting up there with the chief. He says, get out of the world. Find a way to get out of the world. Because it's imperative right here that we do that. Paul says, the time of my departure has come. I think, you know, my daddy. Ready. Laying on his bed, and he's dying, and he can't hardly breathe. The last words he said, I asked him, said, Dad, what are you thinking? I'm learning obedience from the Lord. He went. Ready. Ready for that time of departure that's coming on every one of us. Every one of us are going to either attend or be the person that's attended to in that final day. Elijah. I like him. The Old Testament. Elijah is he is mentoring this young man, Elisha, same name similar. He's mentoring this young man, and so wherever they go, Elisha follows Elijah. And Elijah goes to this city right here, and boy, I mean, he lights the place up. I mean, miracles and wonderful things are happening every step of the way. Elijah right there is under the power of God, and he says something, and it happens. When he called down those 400 priests of Baal right here, and they come against him right here, he says, all right, your God, bring the fire down and light the altar. And they danced, and they sang, and they screamed, and they cut themselves, and they acted foolish, and they're insane. And they couldn't do that. And Elijah says, Lord, fill that trough with water. Pour water all over that altar. And when you get done pouring, I want you to pour some more. I want it soaked down with no doubts right here that this is wet wood. And then God Almighty was entreated by Elijah, bring it down, Lord. Light the fire by your hand. Show these infidels the power of God. Maybe somebody could get saved. And the fire came down. Well, that's Elijah. So Elijah, he's got his young man, and they get to the Jordan River. They got across the river there, and probably Elijah's thinking, well, we're going to have to swim, or we're going to have to find some shallow places to be able to get across the river. Elijah takes his mantle off and smacks the river, and the river divides, and they walk across. No big deal for Elijah. But Elijah knew something. That day he's gone. And that angel of fire, of that chariot of fire and horses of fire, came down from heaven and picked him up, and he went to heaven as a result of living a godly life before God and before men. That was Elijah. He knew it was going to happen. This is in your little Book of Mormon. This is Jacob. He says, I'm about ready to die, and I bid you farewell. Au revoir. I'm on my way. I'm leaving. And I'm going to meet you there until I meet you before the pleasing bar of God. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. This guy is about to die. He's going to go to God, and he's ultimately going to end up at the bar of God. And he calls it pleasing. Ought to be in our hearts. The pleasing bar of God. I can't wait. It's on the way. I'm going to be up there with my dad, my mother-in-law, with Uncle Skeeter, Aunt Frances. I'm going to be up there with them. The pleasing bar. It looks good. I can't wait. Or I don't want to think about it. I don't want to hear it. Don't say that. Be quiet. Because it strikes me with dread and fear, you might say, if you're a worldly man and if you don't have the Lord in your heart. And of course, there's Jesus right here, and he says there, in a little while, I'm going. I told you that. But I didn't really believe you. I've been trying to tell you. I'm leaving. And I go unto him that sent me. They knew that at the time of departure, just like Paul did. He knew it was on its way. And he's going. When I was 17 years old, Mike Smith, the best boxer of all time is, you better say Muhammad Ali. And I saw this as it was a fight. I'm saying this for a reason. Muhammad Ali on this side of the ring, the rope-a-dope on the other side of the ring, the bell was rang, they come marching each other, Muhammad Ali going like this, boop, boop. That was the fight. That was a no fight. Probably paid $150 there to attend that fight right here. Poop! That's it. Is that us? No fight. No challenge. Nobody stood up when they should have stood up. Nobody said a word of defense in the truth right here. Cowards. Not doing their duty. But I tell you what. Paul was a fighter. And this is the fight that we're talking about. Not Muhammad Ali, but this is the fight. Here's sitting King Agrippa on his austere throne. There beside him is Festus. I don't know what to call him there. He's like vice emperor or something like it. But Festus, who has taken his brother's wife, and she's there on that motley crowd. And Paul is standing there with his chains on. Is he chained? He's not chained. He's a free man. Happens to have some chains on. And he says, can I talk? And King Agrippa says, you can talk. In your defense. Paul starts talking to him. He says, Do you know the prophets, King Agrippa? Yeah. I know you know the prophets, King Agrippa. And he talks to him, and Paul talks to this king. And he finally gets down there, and he says, and the king says, "Almost, Paul, what you have said almost maketh me to be a Christian." That's a fight. Probably if Festus hadn't opened his mouth, the king probably would have gone down the water and been baptized in the Jordan River. In your Book of Mormon, here's Abinadi. And they're going to burn him. And he sees the torches, he sees the bonfire, he sees it all right here. And they're coming to get him. As they're coming to get him, he says, "Touch me not. The mighty God will smite you. Because I'm not done talking. And I'm not checking out, and I'm not leaving till the message has been given. And you're going to hear it, and you're going to understand what I'm saying." And they did hear it. And the prophecy that he prophesied against them came to pass. I'll just read it. This is in your little Book of Mormon. "Now, my beloved brethren, after you have gotten in the straight and narrow path, it is all done." Well, what does that mean? You got baptized. Reading the scriptures right here, the Church of Christ believes in baptism, water baptism. We believe that you need to get baptized. So any person right here is in the world, any person right here maybe thinking about Jesus, any person here who would maybe like to start out right, what they got to do is by faith and by obedience, they got to get baptized. And he's saying right here, is the job done? Well, unfortunately, if I can say this quite forthrightly, there's a whole lot of people operating on that principle. I got baptized and that's it. I got baptized right here and I got my seat on the bench right here. This is where I occupy. And I did it. What else you want? There's a lot. It's a whole lot, buddy. There's a whole lot that's got to be done. "Behold, I say unto you, nay, for you have not come thus far save a word by the word of God. Relying wholly upon the merits of who's going to save you? Is your president going to save you? Is any human being capable of saving you? The only one can save you is the Lord Jesus who we're talking about, and we want to give him the glory. Wherefore, if you shall press forward," does that sound like that's easy work? I didn't know it would be this hard. I didn't know that being a Christian and getting baptized and getting in the Church of Christ, right? I didn't expect this. Well, get over that misthought. You're required to get going and help in the kingdom and build the kingdom and help Jesus finish the job, because he is going to finish it and he's going to prevail. "Press forward, feasting upon the word of God," and what? "Endure," and I can see Paul. I can see the holy men of the past. I can see them bludgeoned and bloody and suffering. But he's still going. He ain't give up. He's still walking. He ain't fallen yet. He made it. "Endure to the end. Behold, saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life." And we know that's through Jesus. So, here's Paul right here, and he said he's going to keep the faith. Now, part of that right here is in that verse there is, we are to be connected to the grapevine, whatever vine, the living vine. We are to be connected to that. And we do. We get baptized, and we make a proclamation of faith. We say what we ought to say. We're living how we ought to live right here. And so what happens is we're connected to the vine. And as we're connected to the vine, what's happening to the vine branches? I got some grapes there, and I'm studying. This is for real. In my house, I got some grapes. And I'm studying that. And what I'm doing is that I've got to do some pruning right here to clear out some of the rubbish of the vine, of the orchard, the vineyard. And so I'm pruning and cutting. That's what Jesus does. What Jesus does right here, he takes your life, takes my life, and he's cutting and pruning and nubbing things off here so that the branches, the fluid, the blood, the juice from the vine comes through those branches right here, makes them grow, and voila, come summertime right here, we're picking grapes. All right. It says here, and it don't matter what faith it is, I want to make this important distinction right here. If a man abide not in me, I'm the vine. I'm this big, juicy vine got out here, and all the lifeblood is coming from Jesus into me or you. It's coming in. But that little vine that's connected to that big vine right here can say, I don't think so. I don't really like where you're taking me. I don't like the demands of what requires me. And so I'm taking off and finding my fortune. You're dead meat. You can't survive. Apart from the vine, you're dead. You're not going to make it. That's what he's talking about right there. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them in the fire, and they are burned. I don't care if you think that you're saved. I've been saved and I'm going to heaven, you might say, as most do. I'm going there and nothing can disannul where I'm going right here. And nothing can disannul that. You don't abide in the vine, you're burned. Short and sweet. Not sweet. And it's not short. Bible and the Book of Mormon talk about sticks. And those sticks there, like Isaiah 8 and 20, says the law, to the law and to the testimony. If they don't agree to this, there's no light in it. So we've heard that, Brother Buzz, for years. The law and the testimony. Whatever the law is and whatever the testimony is, but they speak according to the Word of God right here, and you can define the Word of God based upon the Word of God. And so Ezekiel 37 talks about two big scrolls. So you got this big scroll, you take it, and you take this other big scroll, and you put them together there, and they're going to be one in your hand. The Bible talks about the Word of God that you're going to attest to. You're going to believe based upon these sticks spoken of in the Scriptures. Revelation talks about that one day we're all going to stand before the bar of God, and what's going to be opened? The books. The books are opened. The books are opened. Okay, we'll go with that. That's the Bible. You believe in the Bible?
I am the Bible.
All right, buddy. I got you. So those sticks right here are going to be there to validate the truth of God. Mosiah 1:16. Ain't no way to get to heaven and get to God, to get to the throne, to get to happiness, get to eternity. And that's through the name of Jesus. You got to have Jesus. You got to be known by being a Christian. You are Jesus. All right. Now on this last scripture, whoops, right down there at the bottom, Galatians 1:8. This is what I call my truth detector. And this truth detector is this. If I want to know what the truth is, here's how it's detected. I go to Galatians 1:5, right, or 1:8, and here's what it says. If I or an angel speak any other word than that which I've delivered unto you, let him what? Be accursed. All right, so what that tells me is here is Paul in Galatia, and he's telling the folks, he's telling the believers, he's telling the unbelievers, what he's telling them there is that what we're doing here by Jesus, what we're doing by Apostle Paul, what we're doing is that we are patterning ourselves against the church that was patterned in the days of Christ and Paul. And so if they did it back there 2,000 years ago, if they did it, and it's advocated by them doing it, we want to do that. And so if they have apostle, priests, teachers, deacons right here, they had that, we want to do that. Tell you a little, and you probably know this, that here was Judas, and he defected from the 12. He didn't abide in the vine. And so by not abiding in the vine, what happened? He was killed, or he died. And another was numbered in his stead, Matthias. So he had 12 right here. But where does Apostle Paul come into this? He was an apostle. What happened to him? What that tells me is the continuity of the apostleship. As one dies, another one fills his space. All right. So we're looking at that, and did they exercise faith? The demands of faith right here. They were encouraged to have faith. Well, we want to have faith. Did they have laying on of hands? Yes, they had laying on of hands. Well, we want to have laying on of hands. If they were told that we need to love one another, we need to love one another. The aspects of laying on of hands and the calling of ministry is what they had back in those days. They had those callings. Man is called of God. If he's not called of God, he's not called of God. If he's not called of God right here, he's got no business preaching as if he is called of God. They did that back then by Galatians right here. We want to do that. That's just exactly what we want to do. And so the point that I'm making right here is that Paul has given us an idea on how to know the truth. Did they, may I say, did they, you know, that once you're saved, you're always saved? Once you're saved, there's no getting out of it? Well, the Bible didn't indicate that. But it says right here, abide to the vine, endure to the end, and then Jesus says this, and thou shalt be saved. All right.
Why do you say idea?
It's the truth. It's the truth.
It's
the instruction. We'll go for that. Back here to where I began. The question is, are you ready? The question is, are you ready for that time of departure? Have you fought a righteous, God-sent struggle with the devil? Have you fought and tried to defeat him? You might be ready if you're doing that. Have you finished the course? And you look back, and just like Paul right here, Paul looking back, he said, whoa, man, that stunk. That wasn't any good right here. But by the grace of God right here, he pulled me out of the fire and out of the flames, and he raised me up right here to do what I'm called to do. Called of God, right, was Paul that was called of God. Fought a good fight. He finished the course. Nobody had any doubts as they were there at Paul's funeral. I think he was guillotined. But there at his funeral right here, nobody could say honestly, he was a shaman, he was a fraud, he was nobody. They saw the real deal in Paul. Well, the real deal is when we have given ourselves over to Jesus. That's all I got. May God bless you. May he be here with us. And we gotta be resistive of anything that may get us off the track. We got to recognize that we've got an enemy who wants to get us off the track. He wants to send us to hell. And so we've got to read the Word of God. We've got to pattern our life after that. If we're full of love and gentle and peaceable and kind and we're living by God right here, that's what he loves. That's what he likes. Anything less than that, there's not love, not gentle, not kind, having been wrought upon by the Word of God is not the right thing. So God bless you, watch over you, keep you, and may tomorrow be a better day than today. God bless you all. In Jesus' name.